Good day, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, coming to you on WWDB AM 860 here in the Delaware Valley and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Today, we are very happy to welcome Nancy Alterman, a geriatric social worker at the School of Osteopathic Medicine at Rowan University in Southern New Jersey. And we're going to learn a little bit about the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging and a very exciting series of programs that Nancy is involved with dealing with memory issues, Alzheimer's and dementia, family systems, all of the above. And we'll be back to welcome Nancy to our program right after these messages.
Today, many families are expressing a growing interest in preserving the values, thoughts, and experiences of their older members so that future generations can benefit from their wisdom. This is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We can create a family legacy video you'll treasure for years to come. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family legacy video project.
Look around at all that's important to you. You and your spouse have made a great life here. But without proper planning, everything you've worked for could end up going to a nursing home. You don't have to go it alone. Call Begley Law Group at 800-533-7227. We'll help preserve assets for your spouse and your children. And it's never too late to plan. Call 800-533-7227 to get started now. Begley Law Group, leaders in planning for the elderly and disabled.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Again, welcome to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, and we are welcoming Nancy Alterman, a geriatric social worker, the School of Osteopathic Medicine at Rowan University. I think I got that right now with the name change. From the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging. Welcome, Nancy. Welcome to Boomer Generation.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
First of all, let's get the basics out of the way. What is the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging? What do you do?
It's actually, well, it's Department of Geriatrics at the medical school. So we provide primary care and some additional psychiatric care to anybody over the age of 55, defines the geriatric patient. It starts at 55.
So this is an institute. It's part of the medical school, right?
Yes.
And you teach in the medical school, and your focus is specifically dealing with memory issues?
We have a memory assessment program. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people that come there for primary care do not have a memory issue. They get just the regular primary care there with a geriatrician. But we have a specialty program for evaluating people's cognitive impairments.
And you are... If I remember correctly from our conversations, you are involved with this MAP, this Memory Assistance Program. What is that?
The Memory Assessment Program people can come in. They do not need a referral. They can be self-referred when they're concerned about any kind of changes in the way they're functioning, in the way they're remembering, changes in behavior, and they will come in for a three-part evaluation. We try to do everything in the first day in terms of them meeting the three different professionals, which would be myself as the clinical social worker, Dr. Danielle DiGregorio as the neuropsychologist, and Dr. Christian White, who's the geriatric psychiatrist. And he will likely order some blood tests, a scan of the brain. And then they will come back in about 2-3 weeks for the results of all the testing that was done. and that we call a family meeting. And at the family meeting, we provide a diagnosis, treatment options, and recommendations.
So you mentioned that somebody will come in on their own. In your experience, do most people come in on their own, or are they brought in by a family member?
Well, when I say brought, come in on their own, they don't need a physician to recommend us. So if a family member is concerned about their loved one's memory or how they're managing in their day-to-day life, they can call up and make an appointment. But the overwhelming majority of patients that arrive in our office have not recognized that there's any changes, which is not unusual, because when somebody has cognitive changes or changes in their brain, it's not an emotional denial. It's really the part of the brain that would be able to perceive the problem is no longer working. So it's almost like they're mentally blind to the problem.
So walk me through your experience, if you can. What are some of the markers that somebody should look for that would lead them to make that first appointment with you?
Some of the markers are really very mild changes, because it's really critical to come in to be evaluated when there's a very, very mild change. Unfortunately, people often wait until there's significant changes. And the sooner you come in to be evaluated, if you do get diagnosed with a dementia, the more cognitive reserve we can preserve. The purpose of the medication is to really protect your current level of functioning and keep you there as long as possible. So the first things that you might see are changes in three things that we do that are the most complicated. One is managing money, managing medication, and driving.
Wow, that's so, you know, we deal with a lot of people. I'm in my 60s, so, and you deal with a lot of people in our generation. They'll have what they call a senior moment. And they'll kind of laugh it off, but they will forget where they put the keys, or they'll be in a conversation and say, I can't remember the name of this place or this person. It's on the tip of my tongue. And then they'll make a joke. Is this normal aging of the brain and nothing to go crazy about?
Normal aging really means that we slow down. Our process is not as quick as it used to be, that we might have trouble with word finding, but the word will usually come to us later. It's when things don't come to us later, or when somebody says we said something and we say we didn't say it, and there's really being adamant about it. With normal aging, there might be some level of awareness that you might have made a mistake. When there's dementia, there's really not the awareness and insight that a mistake has been made.
I have to ask you this one question, because it just triggered something in me when you were talking about this fantasy, or maybe it's not a fantasy, that the aging brain is incapable of really learning new things. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks type of mythology. Is that true?
No, that's totally false.
Could you just talk about that? Because I think it's really important for you to understand
that. The purpose of our memory, the function of our memory, is so that we can learn new information. And there are people throughout their lifetime, well into their 70s, 80s, and 90s, that continue to learn and hold on to new information. It takes more effort, maybe, more repetition. But yes, we continue to learn throughout our lifetime.
So there's a lot being written now, because I see it in my research for the work I do in aging, that one of the keys, I may be misstating this, so you'll correct me, one of the keys of keeping dementia and Alzheimer's at bay is you constantly have to keep your brain active, crossword puzzles, learning, reading, doing personal engagement with other people, socialization. How true is that?
It's very true. But I would also extend it even further in terms of if you have always been an avid reader, continuing to read or do things with words is not going to be as valuable as if you then take up a creative art. that you really want to expand or learn a new language. You want to do something you've actually not done before. It's not keep doing what you've always done, but really expand and learn something that would be new for you, because that's what generates the new neurons in your brain.
So let me go back real fast. Somebody listening wants to come in and make an appointment. How do they get in touch with you?
We have a main office in Stratford, New Jersey, right off of the White Horse Pike, and they just call the main number, which is 856-566-6843, and follow the instructions to the appointment desk.
Is there a website?
There is also a website through just if you Google New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging, our webpage will come up.
So somebody then to just pick up the phone and call you and say, I need an appointment. I want to come in for an appointment for myself or for my mom. You'll set it up. And to repeat, it's a three-part evaluation. It spreads over, about a month?
Well, the initial evaluation, they're going to see three different professionals, okay, plus get blood work and a scan of their brain, which could be a CAT scan or an MRI. That's really done in a five-hour period. Then they're going to come back 3 weeks later to get the results. And right now we're being booked out about 6 to 7 weeks. So there is a demand for the program. And because it's so time intensive, we only can do 5 a week.
Well, yeah, then I have to ask you, where does insurance come
in? It's totally covered by Medicare and the majority of other insurances and also with Medicaid as well. So we accept all those insurances.
So we're talking to Nancy Alterman, geriatric social worker at the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging, part now of the new Rowan University Medical School, the change of name over in southern New Jersey. And we'll be back with Nancy. I want to explore a couple of other things with you, not the least of which is this this concern about the genetic makeup of memory issues. But first, a word about the Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott. The Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott provides concierge financial consulting and planning services using a formal investment process as their foundation. Clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to your questions. There are no needs greater than your own when it comes to personal financial planning. The Hecht Investment Group provides experienced guidance and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. Contact the Hecht Investment Group toll-free at 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. That's toll-free. You can also visit the Hecht Investment Group at hechtinvestmentgroup.com. And they're also on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and Twitter, the entire matched social media set. Once again, the Hecht Investment Group toll-free number, 855-289-2168. Tell them you are calling and heard about it on Boomer Generation Radio, and they'll take very, very, very good care of you. So Nancy Alterman, geriatric social worker for the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging, part of the Rowan University Medical School in southern New Jersey. Welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio on WWDB AM 860 and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Dementia, Alzheimer's, you spend a lot of your time working with families. From your experience working in this field for many, many years, working in the medical school, teaching in the medical school, where does genetics come into this? If a parent contracts Alzheimer's or dementia, does that mean guaranteed?
Well, let me first explain. One of the questions I routinely ask people, usually the adult children that bring their parents in, what's their understanding of the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? Unfortunately, those terms are often used interchangeably in our culture, but it's very important to distinguish between the two. Dementia is a large category, And there's actually many, many types of dementia. And one of the things that makes our service so valuable is with the neuropsychology testing that they can actually see a pattern emerge from the testing that will clearly identify a type of dementia. Alzheimer's is one type of dementia. There are many, many types. There's frontal lobe dementia, Lewy body dementia, vascular dementia, and a whole series of other dementias and even some subcategories of those dementias. And that's why it's so important to get a very specific diagnosis, because each disease has a different course of illness. Mm. As time goes on, they start to blur together. But and not all of them begin with a memory impairment. Alzheimer's, the classic feature of Alzheimer's is rapid forgetfulness. So there are rare forms of Alzheimer's that have a genetic component. There's other illnesses like frontal temporal lobe, which strikes people in their 50s and 60s that tend to have a stronger genetic component, and they're doing a lot of research with that at the University of Penn. So it's important to really get a good diagnosis for families. But for the general aging population who develop Alzheimer's disease, there's a little bit of an increase of risk, but not a clear genetic piece that says definitely you'll get, you know, Alzheimer's disease.
What's the status of medication for this? There is no cure for either one of these things, correct?
No. The medication that we have at this particular time is for the treatment of Alzheimer's. And in some of that medication can be beneficial even for some of the other dementias. And the purpose of the medication is to slow down the train. If the disease is running at 60 miles an hour on medication, maybe it can slow it down to 10, 15 miles an hour. And some people really do see a benefit of really putting a halt to it. And a lot of people don't understand that the purpose of the medication is to slow down the progression, and they're not going to really see someone get better. But from my experience and from the research, the real benefit to the medication is that it preserves certain skills. After somebody has been sick for quite some time, we no longer really can test their memory, so to speak, but we're going to look at their functional abilities. And two things that we do that are really related to our quality of life and the way that we can stay independent are self-feeding and self-toileting. And the medication can preserve those skills for up to 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that means at least 3 or 5 years not having to be in a facility, of really being able to be maintained comfortably in the community with a caregiver and your family and loved ones. And that means everything when you're in that kind of situation.
You've written on caregiving aspects of families dealing with these issues. This is such an overwhelming issue for families, and I see them in my work as a clergyman. You see them, obviously, in your work on the front lines in evaluating. Walk me through some of these issues that confront a family who now they come through the evaluation. They're dealing with this diagnosis of a memory impairment, whatever it may be. How do you counsel a family to begin to prepare themselves for what may be taking place over the next couple of years? Because this is a family systems issue.
Yes, it is. Families are the people who are caring for their loved ones that have developed dementia. The first thing that is a priority for me as a social worker is to help them start to grieve. And the reason that that's really important is when they recognize that there is an illness that's taking something very dear and precious away from them, then they can start to change their behavior. Very often when someone first comes to us, the family's very invested in getting someone to be what they used to be,
right?
Which is kind of like banging your head against the wall. It feels good when you stop, because dementia, Alzheimer's, leaves everyone kind of powerless. And once you surrender to the truth that the disease is going to progress and you cannot stop it, and the patient is going to change, then the only thing left to do is to change yourself and change the environment. And in order to change yourself, you have to let go of what was in order to love what's in front of you and what is.
Do you find some families are just, they just can't do it?
I'm pretty persistent at making, reaching in to their heart and their soul, because the whole purpose of making that shift is to provide comfort and love to someone that's important to you. So I have a lot of different ways to reach into families to help them make that shift, because ideally everyone is committed to still caring for the patient regardless of the illness.
One of the most crucial decisions that I'm sure you deal with in your work is when a family sits and says, it's time, we can't deal with this anymore.
Right.
We have to find a facility. We have to find a place for a placement for mom or dad or spouse.
Right.
Walk me through some of those dynamics.
Well, before we even cross that bridge, I really encourage people to utilize a wonderful service in our community, which is the adult medical activity programs that really provide respite for families, as well as a fun, enjoyable, safe place for people to gather. And that really helps families go the distance when they're getting routine respite care and their loved one is cared for by medical people and then come home every afternoon. But when that community care system is no longer working well for the patient, then we will sit and talk about different strategies about how to move someone into a residential situation. One of the things, fortunately, unfortunately, that's true about our society is how much money you have at the time of needing a placement is going to determine the quality of your life. Not everybody without financial resources have the option of moving into assisted living, which is clearly the more ideal form of care for someone leaving their home.
The issue that you raise about money, well, let's just be honest about it. It really promotes, in my opinion, I'm really asking your opinion as well, this a very, very significant several-tiered class system. There's a explosion in the United States of America, and even in our own area here in the Delaware Valley, of facilities there being, because I've toured some of them, as I'm sure you have.
I know them all really well.
And they have a memory unit that's you know, very posh. And when you ask how much it is to walk in there, it's really prohibited for a middle-class family.
Not all middle-class families. But
what is, in your experience, is the, I want you to pursue this thing about money being a determining factor of the type of care. It's true, isn't it?
And it's always been that way. When I first started out in South Florida, before assisted living was even really well known in New Jersey, we had adult congregate living facilities. But money has determined your quality of life throughout your lifetime, where you vacation, whether you stay at a Howard Johnson's or whether you stay at a Hilton, whether you drive a Corolla or a Corvette. Money determines our quality of life throughout our lifetime. It doesn't change just because you're older and have medical needs. So if somebody has a Social Security income and have a pension and usually have a home to sell, they can probably get 2 to 4 years in assisted living before they run out of funds.
So,
and a lot of other people choose to go ahead and buy long-term care insurance when they're in their 40s and 50s that would also provide that kind of care for them if they ever need to be managed in assisted living.
Is long-term care insurance the way to go for everybody?
Well, it is expensive.
Yeah, it's very
expensive.
Yeah.
As a social worker who I have not been a high earner. I'm personally prepared to just go on Medicaid and in a nursing home. But so I think the fact is that there's options, and sometimes the patient themselves don't have that kind of resources, but maybe they've had five children, and maybe they've actually put all five children through college, and maybe each child can contribute $200-$300 a month towards their parents' care. So we see all different kind of options, and every family is different. Some families are caring for disabled children. Some adult children have their own medical issues. So there's lots of choices, and it's a very individual choice. There's really not, I mean, a lot of people come to us and they want to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really encourage them to resist that kind of judgment, because every situation is very individualized.
So real fast, because we only have a couple of minutes, run us through again how one contacts you.
The main number at the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging is 856-566-6843. But I also have a direct line that rings right on my desk, and I return every phone call, which is 856-566-7078.
So you work the Institute for Successful Aging. I would be remiss if we didn't close. Give me the three top things off the top of your head to ensure successful aging.
Staying socially active, being connected to people, learning new skills, branching out and doing things that you haven't done before, and then really making sure that you get good medical checkups and that you're with a doctor that you have a good relationship with.
And is there a – we just alluded to this before we walked in, and we have about a minute left. Is there a shortage of geriatricians, family practitioners who have a specialty in geriatrics?
Well, at our school, we do promote geriatrics, and we're one of the few schools in the country that has a department of geriatrics. But there is going to be a shortage out of this local area when you get out to the center of the country. But New Jersey, I think we're fortunate that we do have the New Jersey Institute, where there is a large team of geriatricians.
And with a number of medical schools in the greater Philadelphia area, 6-7 medical schools, is this a priority on all in geriatrics? Is it?
I don't believe that every single medical school in this area has a department of geriatrics. We take fellows after they become physicians that do a fellowship in geriatrics, and they come from the other medical schools very often.
And as a clergyman, I have to ask you this question too. What, in your experience, what's the role of faith and spirituality in all these discussions?
I believe that it plays a very big role as people are coming towards the end of their life, and our physicians are very comfortable dealing with end of life and doing spiritual assessments and working with their faith.
Nancy Alterman, the New Jersey Institute for Successful Aging at the Rowan Medical School. I want to thank you very, very much for giving of your time and so much information. Real fast, 856-566-6843 is the way to contact
Nancy.
Thank
you so much.
At the NJISA. On behalf of all of us at Boomer Generation Radio, thank you, Tim, for manning the board today. We'll see you next week on Boomer Generation Radio.